You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
Is hailing to us from somewhere in Te Ika Māui. Whereabouts, I'm not so sure. We'll clear that up in a second. We've got Brett Vogel, a.k.a. Incredible Yacht Control, joining me to talk about his new album, Pastor Al. Very much looking forward to this chat. As I mentioned, there's a lot going on this album. It should be an awesome corridor. Good morning to you, Brett. How are we? What was that, sorry?
Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Oh, no, seriously, sorry, I forgot to turn on your microphone for a second. A minor technical difficulty. Whereabouts are you coming to us from, Brett?
I'm in Auckland now, in Pakuranga, at school, actually, so, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How's Tamaki Makaurau treating you?
It's pretty good. You know, we live outside of it a little bit, so it's a little bit quieter out where I live. But I of course, drive into the beast every morning and deal with the traffic. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's, like, the worst congestion you've ever experienced there?
In terms of traffic?
Yeah, in terms of traffic. Like, what's been the worst delay?
Oh, I think, you know, we've done an hour and a half when without the traffic it takes an hour, so that's probably about the worst, you know.
Oof, it's just gnarly, man. I can't imagine doing that ever. It seems like such a drag.
No, it's not great.
No, unlike things that aren't great, things that are great include you working as a saxophonist for Cody Nielsen, also known as Silicon, also known as one half of the Mint Chicks. Of all the instruments you play, where does sax rank in terms of favorability for you?
I get it out a few times a year, usually when someone has an occasion to have a sax player, and that's about it now, you know. But yeah, I was in a ska punk band when I was in a teenager, and I played a lot, you know. I mean, but yeah, it's low on the priority now.
There's something magical about the sax, you know.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's actually opened, you know, like things like that. Like when I got to New Zealand, and you know, Cody was like, you know, hey, you want to just jump in, you know, play some sax? And, you know, his dad plays trumpet and sax as well. And, you know, I got to do a couple festival gigs and stuff. And, you know, it's just, it's funny how the things that I've gotten to do with a saxophone like that. So, yeah.
That's mean. Now, I want to talk about the differences between the Portland and Aotearoa music community in terms of accessibility, but also the sort of genres that they're making, because you're originally from Portland. How would you kind of compare and contrast the two scenes?
Well, I've really been on the outskirts of the scene here, you know, and this record is kind of me having the courage to get back into it a little bit. I couldn't speak to Auckland as much. I mean, what I have noticed, I guess, when I sent my demo to Home Alone, you know, just for the heck of it, and like the Wellington people, ironically, have been really welcoming to me, and you know, so helpful and just encouraging, and I really get a sense of community there. So you know, funnily enough, I haven't really broken into that in Auckland as much. And I think it's tough. Auckland's a weird scene because it's so spread out and it takes so long to get anywhere, you know. It just seems like whereas in Portland everything's kind of in one area, and it's kind of like that in Wellington too. You can walk to different places, and it just seems like things are a bit more organically laid out to be conducive to music happening, you know.
It's interesting how city design kind of has those effects, eh?
Yeah, it absolutely does, you know.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I can also see why Wellington would love you so much, because they've got artists like Salvia Palf, who's not necessarily too similar to you, but it's sort of that, like, really gorgeous, textural, a little bit lo-fi, sort of indie vibe. I see exactly why they'd be really into you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, it's That's cool.
Now, the name of the album is Pastor Al. Is Pastor Al a friend or a foe?
Well, I guess for me, kind of a foe a little bit, in a sense. The thing that was funny to me, I had sent a demo to a friend a while ago, and his response was, he just texted back, "I'm digging the pastoral vibes." And I thought, I saw Pastor Al, and I thought that was kind of funny. And, you know, there is a bit of some religious themes on the record. And to me, Pastor Al reminded me of some guy at a local church that thinks he knows, you know, how to interpret 3,000 years worth of tradition, you know, just kind of cracked me up, you know. I thought that's a ridiculous name for an album, and I'm gonna go with it.
Nice. Well, I think it really brings a sort of religiosity or religious sort of theme to the forefront, as you've just mentioned. There's a song on here, Dismissed Messiah, which has some very brutal lines, like searching for the prize with the dead Messiah, whispering the prayers I was told, but they leave me cold. What a line. Very, very dark. Did you have a pretty religious upbringing?
I wouldn't say there was much overly negative about it necessarily, but I think I was a very, you know, I was just one of those kids that sort of wanted to know what the point of everything was and why we were here, and, you know, trying to make meaning of things. And I from these Pastor Al type of guys, I guess, didn't get great answers to any of my questions, and so I think I've always kind of been you know, searching for those things. So that song was kind of, I guess, you know, just becoming an adult and trying to figure out what, you know, your spirituality is going to be, and how you can sort of connect with, you know, whatever it is that is bigger than yourself. And I guess the sort of path I was set on maybe was not big enough.
Where do you think your spirituality is now, comparing to growing up around a bunch of Pastor Al's who are sort of uncritical and overly confident and maybe a little bit zealous?
I think my spirituality now is just, I am excited to be here, you know, and I don't know. I don't have certainty about anything, but I guess I find it's important to me to connect with whatever it is, you know, out there. And so, you know, a lot of that is through nature, or you know, I was raised in a sort of conservative Christian environment. I've found a lot of you know, I can look at any faith tradition now and find truth and things that resonate with me. So I'm really interested in everything and just enjoy the mystery as much as possible. But, you know, it still does overwhelm me at times.
It is pretty overwhelming, and I think there's a moment of being overwhelmed on the track Jen's Dad's Telescope, where there's a sort of cosmically existential line, "All I do is blended with a pixel's width of light that left the earth in a time I wasn't dead." Are you familiar with Carl Sagan's Pale Blue Dot speech?
I was thinking of that when I wrote that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, are you kind of just having a bit of heading an exhaust, or just kind of having a release valve for some of those weird existential moments that you're feeling on that song? Is that the vibe we're getting?
That's exactly the vibe, yeah.
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 How do you not let that overtake your life? Because I struggle with that sometimes.
I don't, you know, it's funny because I don't have that song ends with, you know, the second verse is me going to a show and feeling and then, you know, just the absurdity of everything sort of coming back afterwards, and you know, just distracting myself basically to not think about it, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I think that Carl Sagan clip. He wants us to be. He wants to put everything in perspective, you know, and your little life or whatever it is, whatever you're caring about, you know, and in the context of you know, looking at this little tiny blue dot, it maybe isn't that great. And I think that, you know, you can also feel really insignificant as a result of that, you know. And I guess for me, you know, my sort of spirituality would, you know, some days might be a little bit more of a personal sort of thing where, you know, you feel like, you know, you actually are loved as an individual by the creator of the universe, whatever that is, or, you know, maybe it's a bit more Buddhist and feeling like, you know, I am that pale blue dot. I am the universe, you know, I am everything. Everything is me. I'm connected to that. And so, I guess depending on the day, I feel differently. You know, I guess the idea that it's all just a fluke is not that plausible to me. But, you know, maybe it's just too scary.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I always flip-flop between, like, oh, we're made of, you know, we're made of the remnants of stars. Like, that's what our atoms come, that's where atoms come from. And that's a really cool thought, but it's also like, oh God, the universe is just so expansive. We're not going to be able to travel to another solar system for whatever reason, because space is expanding. Heat death of the universe is going to come in several multi-trillion years, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, it's like, what you're doing matters right now, because what you're doing affects other people. And I think that's what you're going to bring it down to, because people, you can't live without them. You know, if you do, I don't know, you might have some dysfunction. Or you might have not necessarily dysfunction, but I don't know.
I suppose, you know, because, yeah, you'd said earlier, well, how do I, you know, make it work? And that's how. I mean, it's just a process of – and I think that's why I try to have a sense of humor about these things and, you know, call the record Pastor Al or whatever, because ultimately not about me, you know, and where I have found happiness is when life is about other people, you know. Which is why it took me so long to release this record, because I was just like, is this about me, you know, like, who I don't, I've done music, I don't need to be asking people for attention, you know what I mean. And it wasn't until I had a friend just sort of say, look, you know, I'd rather be in a world where you are putting out music than not. And I, you know, it was a, and you know, I, yeah, I said, well, okay, maybe I'll put this out and I'll just see if it resonates with anyone else, because, you know, that's, it's not about me in the end. And yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that you got a little something out of some of those lines, because, you know, that's, yeah, I'm happy now. I don't need to do anything else. I've accomplished.
I think, there's so much to love about this record. You know, it's got a really almost like heavenly religious tone when it comes to the actual music, when it comes to the sort of instrumentation, the violins, the sort of bright keys. And one of my favorite songs on here, which we'll play after El Corredor, is the song Diagnose Me. It really caught my ear, not just from the Nick Drake-esque guitar, but also the saxophone that goes at the end of the song, the whole aura of the song. I love the line, take this result and tie it to your name. Beyond that, I have too many interpretations of the song. Straight from the horse's mouth, what are you getting at from Diagnose Me?
Jeez. It's a real personal song. You know, obviously, so I was diagnosed with ADHD as an adult. And a diagnosis like that can sort of reframe your whole life when you look back at, you know, successes and failures. And sort of put them in different contexts. And I guess it was just me sort of trying to come to terms with you know, to what extent or how that diagnosis plays a part of my identity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, because it's, and yeah, I mean, I guess you get a diagnosis like that and it's like, okay, well, you know, what do I do now?
It feels like the whole album is written with conflict of the existential versus the beautiful reality of the universe or whatever. And this is kind of a microcosm of that, because on the song it feels like you don't know how to interpret this diagnosis. Does it define you? Does it not define you? How does it explain your life? That's the kind of vibe I got from the song.
Wow, yeah, that's exactly what I was going for. I'm really pleased that it came across, yeah.
It comes across really well, I think, now that I hear it from you. When I was listening to the song, I was like, is he complaining about other people getting diagnoses and kind of over-relying on that to have an identity? But no, now that I think about it more and have context with this conversation, yeah. I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah, but that is all. It was in the back of my head to some extent too. I mean, the song's about me, but like, I guess I have an insecurity that, you know, that could be a thing, you know, that I am going around and like, oh, well, I have this thing, so, you know, deal with it. you know, it should be me dealing with it, I guess. So, yeah.
Well, I think the fundamental thing about diagnoses is they don't really change you. They just explain part of what you do, but ultimately there's so much more beyond that no one knows about, because only you know about that, and that's a curse and a gift in of itself.
That's right.
I really enjoy this conversation we've had this morning, man. Do you have any plans to visit Te Waipounamu, the South Island, anytime this year?
We'll just sort of see what happens. Brooke, French for Rabbits and that whole crew around Home Alone, they talked about bringing me down to Wellington. So, you know, I really love that. And it's, you know, it's just me playing these songs. So it wouldn't be that hard, I guess, to get around. I'd really love to, you know, I would love to get down there. But I guess we'll just see if anyone cares.
I think they will. I think they will. And not to brag about Dunedin, but I think it fits the sort of religiosity of the album and the sort of philosophical vibes, because there's like tons of old buildings, there's a few cathedrals around the place. Yeah. It's very gorgeous architecture.
I've seen it. I want to go, man. I you know, you'd asked about Portland and Dunedin earlier, or Portland and all, and I did want to say, you know, how many fans of the Dunedin sound there are in Portland, you know, from, I know, you know, Malcolm is obviously inspired by that stuff, but, you know, there's a lot of those Clean records and all their various different projects were hugely influential on me. So, yeah, I'd love to get down there. Yeah,
for sure. Well, thank you for coming on the show this morning, Brett. I really appreciate your time. Have you got any final words for our listeners?
Well, just thanks for listening to me. and then thank you, Zach. I'm so appreciative that you, you know, I put a lot of work into that album, and I had no idea if anyone would get it. And I just really appreciate you taking the time to listen to it.
Of course. It's a beautiful album. I can't wait to listen to it a lot more. Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Kia ora.
All right.
That was Brett Vogel, folks, a.k.a. Incredible Yacht Control. We're talking to him about his latest record, Pastor Al, which is out wherever you find your tunes. We're going to play the song Diagnose Me, and then at 10 we have a corridor with Lara McGregor and Tabitha Littlejohn. We'll be talking to them about their new production, Every Brilliant Thing. Here is Incredible Yacht Control with Diagnose Me. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked.
A Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.